This is Digital Story Podcast number 677, March 5th, 2019. Today's theme is Spectre, an amazing iPhone app. I'm Derek Story. There are moments when artificial intelligence seem to defy the laws of physics. After testing the iOS app Spectre, I think capturing motion will forever be changed. This software may also drive the final coffin nail for tripods and virtually every other camera support we once lugged around, not to mention neutral density filters. Sound crazy, you say? Tune in and find out that it's real, it's right now, and it's only $3. So let me give you a little background on how I came across Spectre. I spend a lot of time hanging around Santa Rosa Creek this time of year because it is so exciting. Once the rains really start in Sonoma County, this creek goes from, you know, a little nice lazy creek to whitewater rafting sort of river. I mean, it is beautiful. And the way that it runs is it has this nice channel that it runs in that's lined with rocks and trees and, you know, all sorts of, you know, really beautiful elements. And on top of that, we have this bike path that is elevated that also runs alongside the creek. It's called Prince Memorial Greenway. So you can go out and you can ride your bike and just have this nice long ride along the creek itself and really enjoy all the scenery and all the positive ions that are coming from this rushing water. It is really fun. Now, of course, when I do this, when I get a little bit of exercise or I'm running an errand, I want to have my cameras with me in case some good picture opportunities present themselves. This running water thing, especially with the landscape, that the creek has around it, it can make for some interesting photography for sure. The problem is, this is not the kind of situation where I want to lug a tripod. I don't want neutral density filters. I don't want a big rig. And I really don't want to spend the time setting up a tripod and doing all that kind of stuff. Those of you that ride bicycles will be able to relate to this. You know, when you're on a bike, yeah, it's okay to stop and take a picture, but you really don't want to get off the bike. You really don't want to, you know, do this whole scene and then get back on the bike because part of riding a bike is getting in the mode to, you know, ride the bike. So tripods and bikes really don't mix. They don't go together at all. And it's been a little bit of a conundrum for me because the scenery with this rushing water is absolutely fantastic. And I go, okay, how do I handle this? So my solution up until this point has been to use my iPhone X with Live Photos. Now, Live Photos has this feature. When you open up the file on Photos for macOS, you can convert a Live Photos file to a long exposure image. And it actually works pretty well. Now, the way Live Photos works, for those of you that don't have iPhones or Photos for macOS or any of that kind of stuff, is that when you take the picture, it records a little video clip. Now, it only shows you the still shot, but it records this little video clip, and it hangs on to that file. That file's associated with the JPEG. Then when you open that file combination up in Photos for macOS, you can do editing things with it. You can edit the live photo. You know, you can take out little bits, or you can move the keyframe to another frame, or you can convert the whole clip to a long exposure using a little bit of AI. And it's actually not bad. And that's what I've been doing. And actually, I've published some shots recently doing that very trick. Of course, this was before I had Spectre. So then I find out about this app called Spectre by the same folks who created a very nice photo app called Halid. And Halid is this terrific, very smart, intelligent, beautiful UI, a photo app that allows you to really take control of your iPhone camera. Well, these same folks created Spectre, and Spectre takes things a few steps further. This is a $3 iPhone app. At least that's how much I paid $2.99 for it just recently. And it does three major things. First of all, it does these long exposures for soft water shots, waterfalls, rivers, you know, all that kind of stuff. Second, it can create this streaming lights sort of shot, like, for instance, cars on a highway at night, you know, those sort of shots. It's really fun to get up high in an urban environment at twilight when cars and buses and stuff are driving around, and you do these long exposures. Olympus cameras do these very well, live comp. You know, these long streaming shots, you know, mixed in with all the city lights and everything. Well, Spectre does this as well, except you don't need a tripod. You can just hold the iPhone in your hand, just like you can for the soft water shots. And then the third thing that it does is that you can make people disappear from crowded locations. So, for instance, let's say that you're at a tourist spot, and so you take, you know, you fire up Spectre and you take a shot, and I'll explain more of what that is in a moment. You take a shot and you'll get whatever it is, the monument, but there won't be any people there. They're all gone. So it does these three major things. It does a few other little goodies too, but these are the three biggies, okay? Before you get too excited or too disappointed, I should tell you the compatibility for this app. It works on iPhone 6 and newer and requires iOS 11 and up. However, Spectre's smart automatic scene detection requires iOS 12, and the AI-based stabilization features are only available on devices with a neural engine, and that's iPhone 8 or later, and that is the key feature. So even though it'll work on iPhone 6, really, in all honesty, to get out of it what I'm talking about in this show, you need an iPhone 8 or later. On the 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus, it also captures at a lower resolution. One of the things that it does very well on my iPhone 10 is that it captures these amazing shots at full resolution. So I don't have to give up any pixels. They're not sampled down or anything like that. The shots, the JPEGs I get from Spectre are the same size, the same resolution that I get from my camera app on the iPhone 10. And in fact, what's really cool compared to a live photo shot, because live photos is actually a video, the file sizes are about half as much as the live photo shot. So it saves a little bit on space. If you read, you know, if you get into the under the hood specs on this thing, these guys really understand how iPhone photography works, and they are leveraging every bit of technology, machine learning, you know, all the core iOS technologies that they can to create not only the effects that we're talking about, but really good image quality. And that was the first thing that I realized was different about this. So, of course, when I'm testing this, I shoot a scene and I do, you know, live photos version of it, and I convert it to long exposure, and then I shoot it with Spectre. And then I compare the same scene from, you know, both of these, you know, different apps. The Spectre image is just more photographic. It just looks better. It just feels better. It just has a quality about it that the live photos version doesn't have. So they're doing a lot of stuff in addition to the effects to just provide really good imaging with this $2.99 app. Okay, so the interesting thing is, though, that these are still basically live photos files. So, for instance, if you go into Photos for macOS, let's say you use that for your iPhone shots, you know, there's a media folder there, and they have all these different types, you know, time lapses and, you know, live photos and all that kind of stuff. The Spectre shots will be in the album for live photos, along with the regular live photos shots that you've captured before. The thing is, if you go to play them, for instance, with live photos in Photos for macOS, if you push the play button, you get this little short video. Spectre's a little different at this point. It's not really recording a video. In fact, well, let me tell you what they say is going on here, okay? So here's what they say. Spectre's intelligent computational shutter takes hundreds of shots over the span of a few seconds, and it saves them in an accompanying live photo. That means you can pick a different frame as your photo, apply live photo effects, and even use the long exposure as a live wallpaper. So, you know, they wrap it in the live photos container so that you still can do all the live photos stuff. Spectre is packed with powerful technology from the team that brought you Halid. From machine learning-based scene detection to computer vision-aided image stabilization, Spectre is jam-full of impressive technologies to get the best possible image. And there really is a lot going under the hood here. You know, we've talked about computational photography before on this show. This is computational photography again, okay? The stuff that is doing is a lot of lines of code that result in really beautiful pictures. That being said, this app is not perfect, okay? And, you know, there are some reviews on the iTunes site aren't glowing. And I think some of that is before they did the bug fixes. The only bug that I noticed, or the only artifact, is that on some of my shots, I would get a little bit of blurred banding at the very top or at the very bottom. Now, in terms of amount of image space that this took up, we're talking about less than 5% on either the top or the bottom. So I would just crop it out when it did show up, and it only showed up every now and then. What it did show me is that there's a lot of stuff going on for this software to produce that image. And sometimes, you know, things get a little cattywampus, and every now and then you will see that artifact. The good thing about it, at least every time that I've seen it, which has been about three times now, is that it was either on the very top or the very bottom, so it was easy to get rid of. Thank goodness it isn't in the middle of the shot when it does happen. Now, the other thing I will say is that when I do these images with this app, I'm usually taking two or three anyway, because there is a bit of an art to using it. So the way that it works is that you get to set how long the exposure is going to be. So it starts at 3 seconds, I believe, and then it goes to 5, 7, and I believe it goes up to 9 seconds. All right. I mean, yes, that's crazy, right? For us photographers. Yeah, I'm holding my camera for a 3 second exposure or a 9 second exposure. But that's what it does. So what you do is you line up the shot with the phone on the screen, and you choose, okay, what do I want? Now, most of the time, 3 seconds worked fantastic for me. I did try the longer exposures and I really didn't see any additional benefits. So I tend to keep them at 3 seconds. So, all right, so you make sure that's set up and then, you know, you tap the shutter and it starts making the exposure. What it does is it also has another little icon on the screen that shows you how stable you're holding the camera. And it's really great. It's like a super advanced bubble level or something like that. So you can really watch. So what I do is, you know, I've already lined up the shot, so I'm not looking at the scene anymore. What I'm looking at is that little bubble level on the screen and then how much more exposure is left. And then I'm holding it as steady as I can during that exposure. When I did that, it worked great. I mean, it worked. I didn't notice any difference for me hand-holding this thing than, you know, setting my iPhone on a post or something and doing the exposure. I sort of felt like I got better exposures with just a handheld rather than setting the phone down on something. And maybe I still need to play with this a bit more. But you hold that thing as steady as you can, and I love having the little icon that shows you exactly what's going on with that. And then you make a 3 second exposure, you make a 5 second exposure. What it's doing at that point is shooting hundreds of shots, hundreds of shots in that time frame, blah, 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 really fast. And then it uses the, you know, the advanced processors in these devices and these smart algorithms to create the images, you know, where it just draws from all these images. And for instance, on the shots that I, the series I just did at Santa Rosa Creek, so the rocks are sharp and the trees are sharp and, you know, all that stuff is sharp. And then I have this beautiful flowing water. And the thing that I like about flowing water in rivers and streams is that, you get these patterns from the flowing water that you might not even notice in live time, in real time, but when it does the long exposure, you go, wow, that is just really an elegant, beautiful pattern that nature has created there. And the long exposures, you know, help you see that. Now, I also would switch over to my regular iPhone camera and do regular shots because, you know, the long exposure isn't always the best shot, although lately, most of the time it has been. But, I mean, sure, there are times where it isn't, you know, the best shot. But I can take, you know, regular shots as well, you know, just switch to a different app. You know, and this is just one of the functions of it. You know, the erasing people is really nice, as is the streaming lights. So this is really an interesting application. And, you know, when we talk about the beauty of computational photography and all the, you know, the things that come out of it, this allows me, if I wanted to, just to have my iPhone 10 in my pocket, get on my bike, take a nice ride, not worry about schlepping a lot of stuff around. If I see an interesting stream shot or river shot or something, lake shot, ocean shot, whatever, wherever I happen to be, not only can I shoot the standard shot, I can also use these different apps to shoot a raw shot. And then I can also use Spectre to take a really beautiful long exposure shot that is very elegant. And I just think that it is very nice having this option. When I pixel peep on these shots, they are not as high a quality as something that I would capture with a Micro Four Thirds sensor or, you know, APS-C sensor, in terms that if I do set up the tripod, if I do put on the ND filters, if I do everything right, have that nice big sensor and that very smart pipeline for whatever that camera is, yes, in the end, a magnified version of those kind of shots will outperform what's handheld with Spectre. Absolutely. However, when I look at the Spectre shots on my MacBook Pro, which has a Retina display, really good display, I have to say they hold up very, very well. Very well. So I was just kidding earlier about getting rid of tripods and neutral density filters. Of course I'm not going to do that. But the thing that I really like about photography right now is that before all of this, if I wanted that type of shot at the Santa Rosa Creek, I would have to take a tripod and I probably would have to take a neutral density filter. Now I don't have to. I have the option to bring a camera with a larger sensor and that gear, or I have the option to go just with the smartphone. And that's what this is about to me. It's not about getting rid of the other cameras or any of that stuff. It's about having these wonderful options that just give me the freedom to do quality photography regardless of what I want to carry at any given moment. The application is called Spectre, and it's S-P-E-C-T-R-E, S-P-E-C-T-R-E. It's in the iTunes App Store. It's $2.99. Very easy to use. And I highly recommend it if you like taking any of these types of shots I've been talking about with the streaming water, the streaming lights, or just getting rid of people when they're mucking up your travel shots. It works great for all three of those. I highly recommend it. Olympus says that the OMD EM5 Mark III is coming. So this is an interview that was conducted by ImagingResource.com at the big trade show going on in Japan, CP Plus 2019. And they cornered a high-ranking Olympus official and asked them about all sorts of stuff. And about a third of the way through the interview, they ask this question. And what I want to do is just read you a little bit of the interview because I think it's pretty fun. So they start out by going, okay, the next one, this is Imaging Resource. The next one is a very important question, I think, because we've had a great deal of interest and concern expressed by readers. And they put, there's laughter in there. So everyone knows, you know, what's coming. And they go on to say, Imaging Resource, that the article got more reader response and reaction than anything that we've written in the last 5 years. And, you know, Olympus just goes, wow, okay. Imaging Resource continues. So yeah, what is going on with your prosumer cameras? It feels a little bit like the middle has been abandoned, that you have the EM10 Mark III and you have the EM1 series, and I don't know, I'll just leave it at that and ask you what you can tell us or what you can say. So Olympus starts right out by saying, while we can't give you details for future products, we will continue with current product lineup strategy with successor models. As you know, EM5 line was the first OMD series, and it is important to the lineup for mid-range users that would express the strength of the Olympus system. We can reassure you that we plan to introduce a successor model. Imaging Resource, they want to just confirm this. So there is one coming, they say. Olympus says yes. It's really clear your influence on others. This is Olympus talking. Because this morning also, we were asked the same question based on your article. So Imaging Resource then says, I think it's a big problem because existing EM5 owners, maybe they're okay still, but someone who wants to buy into that part of the line, they don't want to buy an EM5 Mark II because they know something must be coming. On the other hand, some of the readers responded, oh, I gave up waiting. I'm going to go with some other manufacturer now. Okay, so then Olympus goes, yeah, from that sense, I think, thank you for your article. It is very good timing to say something from our side. Our message is that the existing lineup, we should continue with the successor model. That is our message. And then Imaging Resource goes, and I guess it would make sense that it would be soon because it's been a long time and the EM1X is now out. So then just to put a wrap on this, Olympus does have kind of this sum up statement here. Very good. Going forward, we will continue to communicate to users, from entry users to professionals, that the three core strengths of Olympus brand are compact and lightweight, high resolution lenses, and strong image stabilization. And then they start to, kind of wander off. And so that's all good. And I have the link in the show notes, so you can go over to the article if you wish. But the bottom line here is that Olympus says that the EM5 Mark II is not the last of the line, and there will be a Mark III. And it sounds like, I could be wrong, but it might be the next camera that we see from Olympus. I have a quick workshop update, and I'm doing this now. It's a nice segue to what I was just talking about, the EM5 Mark II and possibly Mark III. At the Joshua Tree workshop, which is coming up in just a week, yay, I'm so excited, we will have the Olympus OMD EM1X to work with at the event. Yes, so workshop participants and the workshop facilitator, we will be sharing this Olympus EM1X, everyone a chance to take a look at it, get their hands on it, put their lenses on it, and take some pictures. I'm really excited about that. We're going to be able to experience this latest technology in the beautiful high desert. Yay! So I'm sure you're going to see some shots from Joshua Tree shot with that camera. I'll be sure to share them. And by the way, speaking of pictures, I forgot to mention it in the first story that if you go to the show notes, I always have to mention, if you go to the show notes, I have pictures shot with Spectre that you can look at, and they're linked over to the Flickr site so you can get nice good look at them. But I put three Spectre shots on there so you can see, you know, how cool that software works as well. And of course, when we do our shooting from Joshua Tree, we will be sharing shots from that as well. Do you have a film camera that needs a good home? I haven't brought this up recently, but I just wanted to remind folks that over the last year, I received donations from TDS members who have film cameras that need a good home. And when I get these, I inspect the items, I repair and clean them, and then I list them in the film camera shop and get them into the hands of analog photographers who just love this stuff. So I can always find a good home for any film camera. And it's a nice way for you if you want to make a donation to the Digital Story. It's all good. It's all great. And it all has a wonderful weight in terms of my thanking you for your support of this show. If you have a film camera, any analog gear that you would like to send my way, just use the contact form on the Nimble Photographer site, and thank you so much for your consideration. Speaking of folks who support this podcast, I just want to give a big shout out to our Inner Circle members. Hope you guys have had a chance to check out your video that I posted last week on using the Library Manager in Luminar 3. It's one of the ways that I like to say thank you for being a supporter of the Digital Story. Our Patreon site is a lovely place because we have such wonderful people there, the best people on earth. If you're interested in helping support the show, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on every page of the Digital Story, and it'll take you to our Patreon site. You can nose around, see what's going on there. And if you wish, if you feel inclined to do so, you can also sign up and become an Inner Circle member right there. Thank you to all of our Inner Circle members. And a big thanks also to our longest running sponsor, Red River Paper. They're the folks that are with us month in and month out. They make beautiful printing paper. They have a wonderful site that shares all sorts of information. I mean, it is Printing Central. And they have a Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper that keeps the conversation going. I mean, if you want to get excited about printing, if you want to start, you know, creating some artwork that you can put in other people's hands, I would start with a Red River Paper site. You know, all you have to do is just go to the tile on every page of the Digital Story. That'll get you started. Follow them on their Facebook page. Nose around, see what's going on, see all the different types of paper stocks and envelopes and card stocks and all the cool stuff that is available to you. Figure out, you know, what is the best match for your photography. Order some stuff and start making some prints. I promise you, you'll be glad you did. Big thanks to Red River Paper for supporting the show, and big thanks to them for keeping printing alive and well. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I'm working on some great stuff for next week. Thank you so much for joining me this week, and I hope you come back and join me again next week. Until then, have a great week. Take some pictures. Bye-bye now.